for many years, and that certainly has been our privilege. You have understood our international representative ministry with UIM and made it possible for us to purchase a motorhome, which was a neat opportunity that we had. Lord laid it on the heart of one in the church family. It was Randy Jenkins. The Lord laid it on his heart initially and presented it to the, then we presented it to the body, and through all of that, the church family had the opportunity of purchasing a motorhome for them to serve in ministry more effectively as they traveled a lot and staying in many different places. And so what a blessing that has been for us to be a part of that, and as they share, certainly a blessing for them. We have also understood the UIM and FSB partnership. They say we have greatly enjoyed the times we have been able to visit and give personal ministry updates and to participate in a number of our missionary conferences, and that, yes, has been such a blessing for them to be able to be a part of that through the years, and are going to be even more so in the future. So it's really a privilege for us to be chosen amongst many other opportunities and so on, but for them to see this church as a healthy place and a church that they want to be connected with as their sending church, and to God be the glory. That is so cool and such an honor for us, but it's such a joy to partner with missionaries such as Warren and Carol, who have been involved in ministry for many, many years and doing what they're doing. But now we get to have even a greater role with them. Joel, you want to come up and kind of give a... There we go.
All right, this is an overview of UIM International as written by their executive director, Dan Fredericks is his name. Let me welcome you to the UIM International. UIM International was originally United Indian Missions Incorporated, formally organized in February 1956. At the time, the team consisted of two young missionary couples and three executive committee board members. Soon, an additional team couple was added, and UIM was pressing forward with the gospel under the leading of the Holy Spirit. The original vision was to expand indigenous church planting and indigenous leadership development among native peoples of Southwest United States. This originally included Navajo Nation, the Hualapais, and the Havasupais. Gradually, the Lord led others to serve in additional regions of the United States. Over the years, the Lord has sovereignly led to expand to regions in British Columbia, Canada, regions of North Central and Southern Mexico, and in more recent decades to Quebec, Canada, and Cuba. UIM is blessed with an increase in indigenous missionaries and the fruit of the ministry. Some are now serving in regions of Central Asia and Northern India. In the course of UIM's expanding ministry to indigenous peoples of North America, the Lord has diversified the ministry to include dynamic youth camp ministries, theological education by extension, and aviation services. In aviation services to many regions of Mexico. We are also blessed to partner with other like-minded ministries in each region. If you'd like to learn more, feel free to contact me personally at there, dfredericks@uim.org, I could count it as a privilege to correspond with you. We continue to press forward in the work of the ministry that the Lord established over 65 years ago, using simple and humble servants of his choosing. As such, we are inspired to press on in the same spirit. We are facing some of the most challenging times of ministry as our world is experiencing unprecedented events, yet with courage and full faith in Christ by grace, we press on in the cause of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know they have more information about UIM on the back table, and I'm sure you can find them online. A very, very solid ministry. Just as elders, we read through their mission statements and their doctrinal statement. Very, very solid group. So if you'd like to be a bigger part of that ministry, a bigger part of that organization, would highly recommend that. All right, and their time at Frontier School of the Bible. And just a little mini testimony, too, of where they've been, where they've served. Warren and his wife, Carol, were married in 1979. Warren ministered in a couple of churches in Nebraska and Colorado before he and Carol joined United Indian Mission, with which they have been serving since 1985. During these years of service, Warren and Carol have been able to minister in the United States and Canada. Along with teaching, Warren also directs the students' Christian ministry assignments with Bill Bagley. Warren continues to serve with UIM as the international representative and as a board member. And so when I was at school, Warren and Carol, Warren was there and he taught some of the mission classes when I was there. And he was also my prayer group leader, so that was my senior year, I think. So that was a blessing. And then the Christian ministry assignments that it mentions here, that's when essentially the beginning of the year, we meet with Warren, we meet with Mr. Bagley, and sometimes another intern student there. And they ask us about our interests, what we like to do, how we see God guiding us, what areas we are good at serving in. And then they sort of send us out to different churches that have those needs in the area. So then we're not all just swarming to one church. We get to be spread out and we get to share our talents, get to share our spiritual gifts with churches around the area. So that's what the Christian ministry assignments are all about. And that's sort of how I knew Warren from school. So, is that it?
When it speaks about humble servants and missionaries, and Warren and Carol certainly exemplify that beautifully. Anyway, it's just it's such a joy to get to. Get to partner with them in this way. Also, wanted to just share with you the kind of the purpose, the vision, and the story of UIM. Again, it just helps us to give some more clarity of what they are involved in, okay, and what the purpose of the mission that they're involved in, what it's all about. The purpose of UIM shall be established and shall be to establish and strengthen churches among Native, Mexican, Hispanic, Cuban communities in North America built on the scriptures and functioning within their cultural orientation. Their vision, the vision of UIM, is to build cross-cultural relationships through committed people teaming together to accomplish our goal. And I believe you actually have this in your bulletin, do you not? I think that's a copy of this here, okay? Their story, originally known as United Indian Missions, UIM International was founded to establish biblically based indigenous churches. And you know what? Joel already read that. I'm not gonna read that portion, but you can read through that. Okay. So, with that being said, I'd like for Warren and Carol to come up here, and one just we have. they have a responsibility, right, before the Lord as they go out. But we have a responsibility as a church. And so, actually, the elders, I'm going to have you guys all come up here also, okay? And you know, this is a new journey for us. We've never had an official commissioning service. Not that we haven't had somebody. Ashley, she was from our church. We weren't her sending church, though. Well, I guess we were, kind of. But we never had a service like this for her, so to speak, in this form. But I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a reminder of our commitments, right? Their commitments, our commitments as a church. And so to Warren and Carol, the charge, since the gospel is the world's only hope, do you commit to abide in Christ, to love and proclaim him alongside other Christians, to remember his church that sent you, and to maintain your hope in him when the trials come? If so, say we do.
We do.
Yeah. As a church family, if you're just visiting today, you do not need to stand. But if you're part of our church family here, and or if you're here just because they're here today and you're wanting to be in support of them, I encourage you to stand if you would. And you have in front of you what your charge is, as our charge, as a church family, okay? Friends and the pastors and elders of this church commend Warren and Carol to you as godly leaders whose lives and motives have been examined, and we have seen that beautifully through the years, and whom we believe the Lord has called to go to the ends of the earth for the sake of the gospel. Do you commit to supporting them with prayer, with friendship, financial resources, and not forgetting that they are extensions of Callaway Community Church family? If so, say we do.
We do.
Amen. All right, be seated. It's so good to always know that ultimately in any of these journeys we lay it into the hands of the Lord. We lay them in the hands of the Lord, right? And we as a church, we, you know, and just thinking about our preparing for this morning, and we're all called, are we not? If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have been called and truly should be have a dedication of commission to go out and to reach the lost for Christ. But it's a privilege to do this in an official way for Warren and Carol. And so with that, we're gonna pray for Warren and Carol. And actually, if Lance or if you guys have anything else to share, you're welcome to do that. And then we're going to pray for Warren and Carol. And
somehow I'm missing something. I already thought we were either sending church. We've known them for so long that it almost seems like we've been a part of their ministry or sending out through the years. And so it's not a very uncomfortable thing to do what we're doing today.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. It's been a great privilege to be involved in their journey. And we had the privilege, as Dean mentioned earlier, about providing them with a motorhome for them as they travel around the country, which was a tremendous thing for this church to be involved in. But always appreciate them when they've come to our missions conference, and always appreciate Warren's sense of humor. And I'm going to put him on the spot here if he'll remember a story that he had when he was they were serving in eastern Nebraska and he was helping with a harvesting crew. You might want to share that one, Warren. That was a really good one. So, but anyway, we are really privileged to have them as part of our extension of our church.
Amen.
I just want to say something real quick.
Ever since we've come to this fellowship, you guys have loved us no matter what. And I just appreciate all of you, and we pray for you all the time. And the motorhome has been such a blessing. Oh, it's been so great. I had COVID about a month ago. And Warren just said, we're going to get away from school, we're going to get away from LaGrange, and I'm going to take you in the motorhome, and we're just going to go and get away and just relax, and we're going to walk. We're just going to walk. And I thought, how can I walk? Nose was stuffed, and I was a mess, but with that motorhome, I mean, just being there, I cried. Sorry. I just cried every day because it just... I could feel myself getting better and better, and we would just walk, I mean, miles, just walk and blow my nose. And I thought, well, God, you know, the motorhome was for us to minister to others, but the motorhome was ministering to me, and I just appreciate that so much. Thank you all so much. We love you.
Carol said she wasn't going to say anything, and just like that, good for you, Carol.
Sorry.
It's because I didn't tell her she needed to. That's what the deal.
Got one
more.
Yeah, our blessed brother Tony, he was directly in the finances back then, and he is very instrumental in a lot of this.
Yes, for sure. All right. Okay.
Lord, we're so thankful for those that you have called to be in full-time service for the kingdom, Lord. And, we're thankful that Warren and Carol have been obedient to your call and have taken that step of faith and have stepped out, and what a tremendous ministry they've been to so many other people, and not through Frontier School of the Bible and also with UIM International. Lord, we just praise you for them. We thank you for their love for you most of all, and the witness that they are to all of us. And we know we give you praise.
Lord, we just praise you for their example to us, their consistency in their service towards you, Lord. And we just praise you for the ministry that they have already had to us through the years in different capacities. Lord, I just thank you for that encouragement. Lord, I just pray that as we continue to serve in different places, we remember that we serve the same God, serve the same Savior. Lord, so I just praise you for the camaraderie in that, that as we serve together, we can encourage one another. In Jesus' name I pray.
Lord, we don't always understand all the circumstances that take place in life, and things can come and go. But Lord, we can reflect on what Job said, no matter what the situation. And when he found himself in the situation of most everything taken, he said, naked I came and naked I leave. But most of all, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, again for the privilege and the joy that it is to partner in this way with Warren and Carol, Lord. We have treasured them, and we've had a common bond and a relationship for many, many years, Lord, as a church family with them, and what a joy it has been. Lord, our hearts are full of joy of the opportunity that you have given to us, Lord, through broken means, thinking of the situation of their sending church and its closing its doors, and yet, Lord, you are being so faithful to us here, and we greatly thank you and praise you for that, and to your glory and to your honor alone, we give you praise. But Lord, we pray that you will just continue to strengthen us in our journey together with Warren and Carol, and our praying for them and supporting them however we can. And Lord, we know that they will always be a great encouragement and blessing to us as they come and fill us in with what you are doing within the work that you have called them to. So, Lord, we look forward to the days ahead, and just, again, thank you for this partnership that we get to have with them as brothers and sisters in Christ. We just pray that you'll bless, continue to bless their work, Lord, at Frontier, and as they go out and serve with UIM and with the natives, Lord, I pray that you will just bless them in a mighty way, Lord, in that work and endeavor. And again, for your glory and for your honor. So, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We love you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. 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 We do have official certificate that they will be receiving, and some things that we were required by us as a church, or is really required of them, that they needed to have a sending church, and so we'll send information to UIM stating that we are taking on that role and responsibility with them, and so we're looking forward to that. And anyway, it is just a great joy to have this opportunity to join together with them in this way. And with that, with our time, I'm going to just turn it on over to Brother Warren as he's going to share from the Word this morning, and whatever else he has to share with us that the Lord laid on his heart. So.
All right, thank you very much. Well, it's been quite a journey the last couple of years for all of us with all the things that happened in our world. But the last 2 years, my father, he was 101 and a half and still living at Maranatha with my mom, who was almost 95. And he got pneumonia, and I was in Missouri out backpacking with some teenagers and college students, and my brother, or Carol, got a hold of me, and then I called my brother, George, and then he got Dad on the phone. He said, well, I hope you're having a good time with those teenagers out in the Ozarks. But he said, this Egyptian doctor in North Platte told me that I'm going to die today, but I told him I'm not going to die today. It's not today. And then the next morning, he woke up and he told this doctor, I told you I was still going to be here. And he said, well, you're not going to be here tonight. And he was right. My father was promoted to heaven. And anyway, we did his memorial right in the middle of a UIM conference at Maranatha. And 6 months later, Mom, she had moved into North Platte into assisted living. But with the COVID and everything going on, she never got that, but pretty lonely there. And so anyway, she passed 6 months later. So back to Maxwell, Nebraska for another memorial service. That was this year, February. So yesterday we were coming across, and so they're buried at Prairie View Cemetery over by Fort McPherson. So we stopped there because their headstone is up, and we hadn't been there to see that. But anyway, the folks are gone, and they're with the Lord, and that's a comfort. But we'll sure miss them, and all of you know how that is. And so anyway, when we got a call in the summer from our sending church in Englewood, we had gone there in 1980, and I was we were newlywed. But in 1979, we were out in Aurora, Nebraska, at Pleasant View Bible Church, and doing an internship. Supposed to be a two-year internship, and then in the middle of our internship, the pastor and his wife moved to Englewood, Colorado, to be at this church in Englewood. But we were in Pleasant View Bible Church. It was harvest time, and one of my friends from Bible school days, he was from Eastern Nebraska. He stopped in to see us, and so he came to our apartment, knocks on the door, and I was out and about, but Carol was home, and there's a knock at the door. And here's our friend Dwight, and he said, well, is Warren here? And he said, no, he's not here. Said, well, where is he at? And she said, well, he's been helping the men today, and he won't be home till dark. And he, well, where is he at? And she, this is what she said. She said, well, he's out in the field with the concubines, and he won't be home till dark. Well, this guy was off of a farm, of course, and he just died laughing. So anyway, ever since, Carol's always been teased about that in any farming community. So anyway, sometimes we get our words mixed up, but that was classic. And so anyway, we went from, I really wasn't out in the field with the concubines, but we went to this other church, and so we went from a church with a couple hundred people, and then the Inglewood, it was about 1,000 people involved, and so they got in this. I was the Christian education director after my internship. So we had all these Sunday school teachers, and then we had Awana clubs and that kind of thing. But the elders were talking about which translation of the Bible are we going to use in like Awana, because these children were trying to memorize Bible verses, right? And so they talked about it, and then there was this one guy, he just wanted one translation, but the rest of them thought, well, we should, you know, allow for some other translations. So this elder was really nervous when he got in front of the church board to say what they, you know, were recommending. And so he said, he got there, he said, well, we think that the, like the King James, the New King James would be good, and the New American Standard Version would be helpful. But then a simpler language one, he said, we also think we would recommend the New International Virgin. And then he sat down, and he didn't know what he said. And so his wife said, she hits him in the ribs. And he goes, well, what did I say? And she told him, and he just, he couldn't believe it. But anyway, after that meeting, I told him, I said, John, his name was John. And I said, can we come over to your house tonight after service? And he said, well, that'd be fine. So we went and saw John and Carol, and we were eating some snacks. And then I said, John, can I ask you something? He said, sure. He said, go ahead. So he's one of our esteemed elders, you know. And I said, could I check your house for some things? And he said, why? And I said, well, I want to find that New International Virgin. Is she hiding out in your basement? And he said, oh, boy. Well, anyway, over the years, we served there, and we felt that, Carol and I did, eventually, we felt we should serve with UIM. And this church, Inglewood, was really on the New Tribes missions and the tribal work overseas. I mean, they supported those missionaries, and so we were feeling we should go out, but we were thinking of the tribal people here in North America. With UIM and those elders, well, he said, we'll support you in doing that. We'll send you to do that. But if you go with New Tribes, then they said they'd take on half of our support immediately, financial support. And I said, well, what if we go with UIM, United Indian Missions? They said, well, we'll only support you at $500 a month. But I said, okay, well, praise the Lord. And they did that. So anyway, they sent us out. And a couple of years later, the youth pastor, his name was Dan Fredericks, and he was born in the UIM. His parents were some of the people that started our mission. And so after serving there for probably 5 years as youth pastor, then him and his wife, Julie, who's from Stapleton area, Julie Lanka, married into the Fredericks clan, and then he married into the Lanka clan. So anyway, they left the church as far as youth pastor, and they too are with UIM. And so for many years, I was the director of UIM after Dan's father, Don, retired. And then after about 13 and a half years, I told Dan that it's your turn, brother. It's your turn to be the director. I'll do some other things. So anyway, he's been our director for about as long as I was the director. But as you can see, we're not getting any younger. We're actually getting older. But when I... First time I ever went to the Grand Canyon to go down and visit the Havasupai tribe, I went with Dan. and he took me down there with another friend, and we were able to meet some of the people, and that was in 1977. And he didn't tell me how long a walk it was to go see this tribe. And then the next day, I was already sore from just walking in there, and it was pouring rain. We're walking down the Grand Canyon, pouring rain, it was freezing. And next day he says, would you like to go see the Colorado River? And I didn't have any maps with me. You know, back in those days, there are no maps that I carried around. So I said, well, that'd be nice, that'd be fun. Well, he didn't tell me. It was nine miles to the river, and then we had to walk 9 miles back. And so at that time, you couldn't go down there and camp on the bank of the Colorado River without a permit, and we didn't have that permit. So we walked 18 miles. That was a warmer day, and while we were doing that, we were going up and down these cliffs and trying to avoid the rattlesnakes, and our other friend was throwing rocks at the rattlesnakes, which was really scary. For us, not the snakes, but why are you doing that, Larry? Well, you know, he says, they won't hurt you. I said, yeah, they could kill us, actually. But anyways, on that walk, that really started feeling that the Lord was at least putting on my heart the need to be in full-time work with these tribal people. But I had in my mind also that Dan Fredericks should also be, he grew up in the mission, but he should also be involved in that ministry. But I didn't tell him this until we got back to the campground. But I said, we need to talk, Dan. And he said, yeah, I got something to tell you, too. So, good. So, anyway, while we were gone to the river, what happened was the squirrels, we didn't take our backpacks. We left them at our tent site. But the squirrels got in and ate a lot of our food or contaminated the food. So that wasn't good. And we got to the river, we left our day packs open while we were throwing rocks and looking at the river. And the ravens came by and stole our bologna sandwiches, which was really disgusting. And but anyway, he said, yeah, I got something to talk to you about. So we sat down back at our campsite, But the wind was blowing just the wrong direction that night because we were sitting upwind from the outhouse. And so that was bad. I thought at first I thought it was just us from a 19-mile walk, but it was anyway. So I said, here's what I got, Dan. I was on this walk with you and praying, and I really think God's calling to full-time ministry with tribal people, but somehow we're going to be in it together. And Dan said, well, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. He said, I had the same idea, but he says the both of us are in big trouble. I said, oh boy, that's usual. That's pretty normal for us, but what are we in trouble for? He said, well, we'll never be able to do it alone. He said, we need to pray that God would give us, both of us, God would give us a wife that would be willing to do that with us. Because we'd be a disaster without, each of us having a wife. And so anyway, we prayed right there by Havasupai Creek that God would give us each one a wife that was willing to do that. And then we walked out of there about 3 days later. And so what happened was Julie was already at the school, and that was another disaster for me. She worked at Maranatha Bible Camp when I was a senior in high school, and she was a senior, and then getting ready to go to Bible school. Well, she took a group of us up just north of Stapleton to the Lanka Ranch. And so I'd never, ever worked with cattle. I'd never milked a cow in my life, and so Julie and her brothers and her dad, they decided that these boys from the Bible school, that were going to go to Western and we're going to camp, that weren't from the farm and the ranches, that we could try to milk cows. Now that was disaster, I'm telling you, that didn't go well. Her dad was literally, Clarence was laying on the ground laughing, and her brother was laughing because we couldn't get a drop of milk out of those cows. We couldn't. It was just, I don't know how these things happen. So I was pretty frustrated, trying. And so I said, Julie, this isn't working. And her dad says, it's not working well. And Julie says, well, the cow's got to let it down. And she was talking about the milk, and I didn't know that. So I was looking at these things hanging there. And, well, this one's pretty long. How much further down? And she, no, come on. So by then her dad and her brother left the barn. So you better get away from this guy, he's pretty dense. Well, anyway, So we get back from this prayer time down in Havasupai, and Dan, he's definitely grew up with the Navajos, but he's not a cowboy. But he found love with this cowgirl from Stapleton, okay? And she was out, she was out riding these horses, and she was really good on the barrels. And so we went to Western Bible, and she said, well, I think we ought to have a Western day at Western Bible and bring in real rodeo stock. So she called up Gary Walker from LaGrange, and he brought in real rodeo stock for these guys and gals that never rode a horse in their life, But I knew enough from being from Steamboat Springs and my family that I wasn't going to get on one of those horses, guaranteed. But they had so many people got bucked off. They had concussions. They had back problems. It was crazy. And so we decided not to do it that way again. Told Mr. Walker, you better take those horses back home. We've hurt too many people. Well, anyway, that was the gal that Dan married. And then that next school year, it was my third year at Western, but then that's when Carol showed up to school. She wanted to go to Moody up in Chicago and couldn't get in because her references for Moody from her home church and some of the people that knew their family, I had written and told the Moody leaders that Carol would never be a pastor's wife or a missionary, that they knew her family, and so that's never going to happen. And so she didn't get into Moody, and we found this out later after we were at UIM, but they said she'll never be able to do those things. So she came to our Bible school. We're the same age, but came 2 years later. So one of the jobs I had was I'd travel around with the choir and the music teams. So that year I was supposed to introduce any new people to the choir that were joining us. And so I looked over, and Carol that day wasn't sitting there. She was sitting over there where Evelyn was at today. So I was going to introduce her, and I had it written down there. Carol, her last name is Boatz, B-O-A-T-Z, and I'm looking at that, so I look over there, and a thought came in my mind, there's your wife right there. And I'm supposed to be introducing her to the choir, So I'm going, well, that's kind of a weird thought. I better not say that, So that's true. Well, anyway, later we did get together, so part of the proposal for me, I wanted to go to Alaska. And that's where I thought the Lord would send me. So I carved out this plaque of this prospector in Alaska. And on the backside, there was a little heart thing with a ring in it. But I asked her to marry me. But part of the bargain was, are you willing to go to Alaska? And she said she would. So I thought, well, this has got to be the right gal, right? Well, the Lord never sent us to Alaska. We barely got across the border into Alaska twice in our whole life. But he did send us a few other places. But the thing that impressed me about my wife was wife-to-be was she wanted to serve the Lord wherever he wanted her to serve. Amen. And she wanted to do that in full-time service is what she thought. So praise God that that worked out. But she's put up with a lot, let me tell you. Usually from me. Okay. All right. Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning because, you think about these missionaries that the Lord did send out. And then Acts chapter 13, you think about when the Lord decided that it was time to send out some people from the church in Antioch. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, that's when the leaders there that included prophets and teachers, but it says in verse 1, now there were in Antioch in the church, that there were prophets and teachers. Okay, so among those that were teaching and serving, that the Lord called out was Barnabas and then Saul. And in verse 2 it says that the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So here's the early church there in Antioch. And some of their main teachers were there serving the Lord together. And then the Lord said, I want two of them to go somewhere else. And that was when the Lord used them to start reaching out big time to the Gentiles and start started the missionary church planting ministry that they were doing. And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, there they go. So their home church was Antioch. So for us, when this happened, it was Englewood Church, First Christian of Englewood, which later became Englewood Bible. But we went out, and then Dan and Julie were part of the pastoral team as well. And then they went out, but under our mission board. And so they sent us out, and that was in 1985 for us, and then 1987 for Dan and Julie. So when they decided to go out of existence this year, when we went to the last service, what happened was Dan spoke. Dan Fredericks was the last one to preach, one of their missionaries. And then I played Stanley. Okay, so that was because the pastor that taught me how to do that, he was one of the long-serving pastors of that church. And during that service, his son, the pastor that taught me how to play myself, his son got up and he gave me his father's saw. Okay, so the man that taught me, he gave me his dad's saw. So the man that gave me his dad's saw, when I learned, he was 42 years old then. But then when he gave me the saw, no, he was 40 years old, because when he gave me the saw, he's 82 years old now. Okay, so he called me up and gave me his dad's saw. So the name of that saw, I didn't bring him along, but his name is Chief. So the old Chief was over 100 years old by the time I got him. But he's just as shaky as Stanley, I'm telling you. He really is. So here we got sent out by that church. And then the last service they had, it was Dan and Julie and Carol and I came. And they had some other missionaries that came back. But they had, literally for Carol and I, we'd been on the church staff from the fall of 1980 till the spring of 1985. So that church literally supported us financially in many other ways since we were very young. So where's Joel? Where is? So we were your age probably, Joel, by that time. And they stuck with us all the way through till this time. All right, so they got sent out. And then let's go over to Acts 14, because, Barnabas and Saul went out. Barnabas was referred to as the leader, and Saul. And then later in the book of Acts, then it talks a lot about Paul being the leader. And so they came, let's go to chapter 14, verse 19, because they were working their way back to Antioch, but they, their home church, I mean, their sending church, but as you look at their life there, these men were facing extreme opposition in some of the places they went and shared the gospel and some of the places they were planting churches. I mean, they had been committed to the grace of the work of the Lord by the Church of Antioch, but let me tell you, they were facing extreme opposition. So, for example, the Jews came in verse 19 of chapter 14, from Antioch, Iconium, and having won over the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. So they absolutely hated this man that used to be a Pharisee of Pharisees. And these Jewish people came in there and they literally tried to kill him by stoning him to death. Drug him out of the city. But it's interesting is that the disciples there and Barnabas, they brought him back into the city, probably checked him over. He was in pretty bad shape. But they didn't abandon him. They brought him back, and amazingly, he arose in verse 20. It says, "But the disciples stood around him, and he rose and entered the city. Next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe." So here he is. They thought he was dead. They got rid of him. And then he gets back up, and he goes out of there, goes to another town. And so these men were facing extreme opposition for the work they were fulfilling. And then the other thing we want to notice here is they were keeping a clear focus on the work they were fulfilling. So if you look like at verse 21, after they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So they were preaching the gospel, they were making disciples of Jesus Christ, and they were returning to the towns where they had visited before to encourage the believers And they, and it says in verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed and with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So they were appointing leaders for those churches, ordaining those leaders, and they were committing that, that work to the Lord. And then it keeps talking about the places they went on in that passage that, that they visited. But it's interesting, verse 25, it just says, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had accomplished. All right, so they were very focused everywhere they went on proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the word of God, making disciples, assigning leaders to those churches, and then committing them to the work of the Lord. So finally, they returned to report to their sending church, the church in Antioch, about how they were sustained by the grace of God and the work they fulfilled. So they got back to Antioch finally, and they were road weary. And I'm sure Paul didn't look the greatest after having been stoned like he was with those rocks and the hatred that they had been receiving. But they came back, and what's interesting is in verse 27, when they arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time there in Antioch with the disciples. So they were excited to come back and report what God had done. And that was through them. But they, the church had sent them out, and they came back to let the church know how the Lord had worked. And so I'm sure the church was excited. You know, this is, and I know you are when you get to hear your reports from different ones coming back and telling what the Lord's doing all over the world. And I know Gretchen Houghton and Gretchen were here, and then I think it was the Russell, right? Yep. Okay. And so you get to hear amazing stories. And I remember when Houghton came to Frontier, he was in my class, but he was a medic. And so he's a very, very, very intelligent man, as you know, but he's very interesting in me. And Gretchen, too, and then Brian was there, and then, of course, Pastor Dean, Donna, and a lot of people were there. And they endured me. I'd drive up a few days a week, you know, or a day a week, and anyway, but they did that in Antioch. And then they decided in chapter 15, verse 36, if you go over there to 15:36, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit the brethren in every city which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." So off they're ready to get going again. And they said, "We got to go back and visit these people." And the church in Antioch, I'm sure, was excited that they're willing to go back. And they didn't even have a motor home. You know that? They walked and they rode these ships and everything. But for us, you know, we get called up and we've been a lot of places, but they always want to know, can you come back and visit? Well, during COVID, of course, we couldn't come back and visit. But every day I prayed that the Prime Minister of Canada would drop the COVID restrictions for travel so we could go back in there and visit. So these tribes, these leaders, they call me up, "Well, how come you can't come?" Well, it's not open yet. So every day I've been praying the Lord would open that. And finally, the Prime Minister did that. Well, so Barnum says, "Let's go back." But of course, he wanted to bring Mark along with him, right? John Mark. And Paul didn't think that was a great idea because John Mark didn't stick with him on their first journey. And so he said, "No way, I'm not going there with him." And so what happened was John Mark and Barnabas did go. And they went out, and then Paul picked Silas, of course. And it's interesting that the church just says when they decided it was time to go after this big disagreement with these two brothers, it just says in verse 39, there rose a sharp agreement or disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling, and then they, you know, telling him where he's going. Well, so the church, in spite of the disagreement between Barnabas and Paul, they commended these brothers to the Lord, and two teams went out from that same church later, right? So So I'm just saying that as new teams were formed, this church was very faithful in praying and for helping them any way they could when they had that opportunity. So as Carol and I, we married a few years ago, and we're not getting any younger, but that's okay. When you get a call like we got saying, hey, we're going out of business, that's a hard phone call, at least for me and for Carol. And so as we prayed, the Lord laid this church on our hearts. And so actually we, one of the tribal churches we'd helped with many years ago, we'd asked them, their pastor, about that. And he said, well, I'll talk to him about it. But then he never did. He forgot. I didn't know that. Carol didn't know that. So 2 months we prayed about that one. Well, finally I told Carol, I was praying one morning, I said, well, if they don't get back to us in 2 months, then they're probably not going to do that. And that's okay. But we'll still go see them next summer. And that's okay, right? Well, then I thought, the one that Dan Fredericks, our director, and then another pastor, they were praying too, but they suggested one day to us that, why don't you talk to that church in Callaway that helped you with that motorhome, and that was definitely on our thinking, but so when that came through, then that's when I called Pastor Dean, but he got on it right away, the elders here, and we just felt a real connection here over the years. But thank you for considering our situation for UIM. That's a requirement for UIM, and also with the 501c3 that we are with the federal government here in the United States. So we do try to live within the government's parameters as a mission, but that's what we need, as to be commissioned by a church that would send us out. So even though we've been out for a long time, I don't know if we're getting retreaded or what, My father always told me, don't ever buy retread tires because they don't last too long. And he was right, they don't. But we probably do need retreaded, but that's okay. It's like this guy told me in Canada, they wanted the retreaded studded snow tires. And so those work too. But you can't keep them on all year because they're too hard on the highways. But anyway, we've been going for a long time, it seems like, and you probably think he's been talking for way too long, so I better wrap it up here. But as we look to the future, we realize that younger leaders are needed in our mission as far as leadership. And so what one of our missionaries told me one time, he used to come to my home when I was a little boy. His name was Art Norris and his wife, Emmalou. And they worked with the Navajos for like 70 years, I think. But he said, well, Warren, when you get to my age, and at that time he was in his early 60s, he said, you want to be in a position where you can help younger leaders. And you don't have to be in charge anymore. You just help them and encourage them. And do everything you can to encourage them. So that's what we're trying to do. Okay, so we can't go as fast as we used to go, or as long as we used to go, but we can still go. But we need to encourage younger leaders. So just pray for UIM and also for Frontier School of the Bible. Some of our teachers are a lot older than we are, and we need also younger leaders there. But we can still encourage, we can still help, and we can still put students to sleep in class, I can still throw things at them, wake them up. I can still go to Bible camps occasionally, Carol can go if we have a motorhome. But praise God, we're still going, right? Amen. That's what I say, praise God. So every day I read the obituaries, I don't know why, but I haven't been there yet. But like my dad said, this doctor told me I'm going today. And he says, I don't think it's today, it was tomorrow. But he, he was so excited. The last time I went hiking in the mountains in Colorado with my dad, he was 68 years old. And that was the first time I ever saw him sit down and say, I got to rest for a little bit. But then he asked me, he said, when your brother called me, And he wondered if Mom and I had come out to Maranatha to help for a few years. And that was when he was 68 years old. They moved out there in 1987, and then he died July two summers ago. So they served out there from, Mom was 60, Dad was 68, and they served until Mom was still doing stuff for the camp until she was 90 years old, and then finally said, I got to take care of Dad. So we got a few more years in us, I think, Lord willing, anyway. And if he wants to take us home through the rapture, that's fine with me. And if he wants to take us home today, that's fine with me today, but we never know, right? We just want to be faithful, and I know you've had Tony go home to be with the Lord really recently. And, praise God, he's home. And that we'll be praying for you, Beverly, but he's home, and that's just a blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
But it's still hard. It's really hard. So just pray for us and continue to just be faithful to the Lord. When Lord Jesus Christ called out James and John, they were fishermen, and their dad was Zebedee. But what's interesting is he sent James and John out, but he didn't tell Zebedee to leave the fishing nets, did he? And Zebedee stayed home and kept the business going and helped a lot, I'm sure, with Jesus. But you people have sure been faithful, and not everybody's called to go elsewhere, but everybody's called to be involved with what God's doing locally and regionally and globally around the world. So thank you for your faithful service to the Lord at home and those of us that, those of us sometimes they wonder if we're really a home up here, It's like, I better pray for that guy because he's not all there. But you've been really faithful and encouraging. So thank you. And I'd like to just pray and then we'll turn it over again. Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this local church, Callaway Community Church. What a faithful group of believers that are here, Lord. And I know they're reaching out locally and they've reached out in their region and helped so many people all over the world, Lord. And even the upcoming Christmas child ministry there with the shoeboxes, Lord. And just pray that you continue to bless each one, Lord. Thank you that they're willing to serve as our sending church, Lord. And it's so hard to see our home church go out of existence here on earth, Lord, but we know the believers that went out all over the world, Lord, you used that church in a mighty way, and yet even the books, in the book of the Revelation, even those churches that were mentioned and the letter was written to them, none of them exist today as far as local churches, but yet your church still exists, and that's what we want to be part of, Lord, your church, your body. Thank you that you are the head of the church, oh God. And Lord Jesus, you know where we're each needed. Guide us by your Holy Spirit this day. And again, we thank you for your holy word and your guidance in each one of our lives. And I pray this in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen.
Warren, thank you, and not only do we enjoy hearing from you, share from the Word, but you bring a lightness to our spirit. Thank you for just a wonderful, and praise the Lord that your wife skips up, messes up words. I'm all about that. I do that often, and so Carol, bless you. It's a gift, isn't it? It's a gift. It is. Yeah. A couple of things just want to mention the tail end here. One, Bev gave a thank you that I just want to read. Thank you, church family, for all you did for us while Tony was hospitalized and for your part in the beautiful celebration of his life. The cards, flowers, phone calls, food, and most important of all, your prayers were appreciated very much. The noon lunch before the service was wonderful. Tony loved this church and our church family. We rejoice that he is now enjoying the presence of Jesus. He was so ready and longed to be there. Thank you again, Bev, for the family. And praise the Lord that Bev is with us today. She's not having to be at home or in the hospital still. She had a little bit of a hiccup yesterday, but doing very well today, and we praise the Lord for that. And But boy, we do rejoice with our dear brother Tony, don't we? And I just encourage you to remember to keep those in prayer within our bulletin. Wherever mine went, I'm not sure where it's at the moment, but anyway. Just remember to keep those in prayer. Shauna was able to make it today, so woohoo! Glad for that, but continue to pray for her feet as they heal up and her leg, and anyway. So, hope that you're able to stick around following Sunday school for fellowship dinner. It's always a good time. Get to spend some more time with Warren and Carol and enjoy that. So, anyway, it's great to have Anna's folks with us today. You're being watching over the grandkids while they're off playing. Is that right? Yes, that's great. So, I'm glad you're here. All right, well, let's... Oh, Ken, sorry. Do you know, was there any issues with this little squirt? Oh, yeah. I just happened to notice. Oh, wow. Aunt and family. Okay. So let's Liberty. Okay. Yeah, 2 months old. That's right. Thank you, Ken. Boy, that family has been through it. They sure have. They have been through a lot in the last year. Oh, Char.
I also received a thank you from Marge Mason. It says, thank you so much for the beautiful floral arrangements and the delicious lunch and your kindness during a sad time. Thank you for Marge's funeral.
Very good. Okay. Very good. Char and I were talking here some time ago about the blessing, honestly, that even serving a meal at a funeral is a big deal, and it's not always something that churches are just jumping to do, but I'm glad that that's something that our church faithfully does, because it is a ministry to these families as they come together to celebrate the life of one that has been lost. So anyway, thank you all for that. So, all right, let's close with prayer, and we'll go and enjoy some refreshments before Sunday school. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the joy of being able to be together this morning and to be the body of Christ, to come together to worship you and to be a part, Lord, of an extended family, Lord, of the body serving in different places, yet we serve together. And thank you for Warren and Carol and their ministry and their lives, Lord. And just thank you for, again, the privilege that you've given to us to serve with them. And Lord, we just pray that you will just encourage each one of us as we go, Lord, and be with those that are struggling and with loss and physical issues and so on, Lord, among us in our church family. And I just pray that you will just encourage and help them to find their peace, their hope, their rest, their encouragement in you, Lord, during these times. And we know that you are the great physician and you are able to do a healing work on this side of eternity, if you choose to. And if you do, Lord, we will give you all the glory, honor, and praise in that. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Pray that you just bless our time in Sunday school hour, Lord, that it just would be a precious time together and our time of fellowship following. We love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're dismissed.